Pasello, the ROI guy.
Hi, this is April Morley.
And welcome to the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
This podcast is a service of the Enterprise Value Collective, a community for business value-focused leaders and practitioners, and is sponsored by our value consultancy, Genius Drive.
Our mission is to help accelerate and optimize the value articulation in each of your customer engagements and throughout the value lifecycle. And we're here to welcome a special guest, Sridhar Parameswaran. Welcome, Sridhar.
Hi. Thanks for having
me. Thanks so much for joining.
Yeah, Sridhar is the head of value engineering worldwide for the service operations platform firm Certinia. But he's an industry veteran and value go-to-market leader for the likes of Workday, Oracle, Kearney, and Sridhar is also a startup advisor. So we're going to use all dimensions of that, from his new program that he's creating at Certinia to his startup advising role to the work he did at leaders like Workday and Oracle, all to kind of learn a little bit more about how we can elevate value enablement and value practices. So first, Sridhar, just give us a little bit of an overview of kind of how you got into value and value enablement.
I absolutely can. Right. So I've got the fortunate experience of being a value practitioner for the last 15 plus years. It's been really enriching from the standpoint of learning, building out various functional capabilities, building and growing teams, and developing commercial acumen. My initial foray into value was actually at Oracle with a team they had called Insight. Mm-hmm. Back then, I was a management consultant, and I wanted to step into industry and leverage my consulting skill sets, things like storytelling, logical thinking, analytical skills, which are supremely vital functions, right, for a value person. Mm-hmm. So I did that at Oracle for about 4 years and then moved on to Workday, where I had the fortunate experience of building out the value function from scratch for EMEA. Loads of fun doing it, right? We set up a practice for value, working with prospects. We set up value realization programs. We set up industry value teams and so on. And most recently now I'm with Certinia, which is a leader in service delivery solutions for services organizations from opportunity to renewal. And I've got a similar remit to what I have or what I had at Workday, which is to establish and grow this function with a remit for all regions outside North America. So hugely exciting.
Very exciting. So a lot of value teams start off by focusing primarily on sales, and oftentimes late in the sales cycle where they're creating a business case that's requested by the customer. This can become a really resource-heavy process if that's the core focus. What are your thoughts on this?
Really interesting question, right? So first off, I think having a value group is absolutely necessary, but not sufficient, mm-hmm. right? Now, a business case we all know is a crucial part of any buyer's journey, right? And we need to help them develop that at the right stages of the sales cycle. But that being said, I think there are many ways to skin the cat and ensure that value is present across the sales cycle. You know, not only just in judiciously using the value group at various touch points across the sales cycle, but also using things like appropriate tooling or enablement mm-hmm. or programs. And ultimately, if you use value in the right way, not just at the later stages, but across the sales cycle, it creates what I term as the 4E effect. I'm a recovering consultant. I love my frameworks. And so here's one for you. It's the 4E framework. So the first E is elevate conversations, right? You need to have rich, informed discussions with decision makers. That's the first. Second is expand deal size, right? Through appropriate discovery, you can learn about challenges and expand and have higher deal sizes. The third is expedite the sales cycle, so higher velocity, because you're creating consensus among all decision makers today. And then fourthly, establish buy-in, which is supremely important, because ultimately that value case or that value proposition needs to be socialized internally within the customer or prospect. So there you go.
Excellent. Love it. Four E's: elevate, expand, expedite, and establish. You know what, Sridhar? I would love to dive into these a little bit deeper with you, if you wouldn't mind, and kind of explore each. So Elevate, talk about that one a little bit more first.
Yeah, so this is, you know, ultimately, when you think about approving a business case, you know, it's ultimately the decision maker who has to do that, you know, relevant decision, right? And for us to have a really informed conversation with these decision makers, we need to introduce things like outcomes, because that's what moves the needle for decision makers, right? What are the outcomes? What are the benefits underneath each outcome? How does that align with the strategic objectives or goals they might have in mind? Right. And if we have those appropriate conversations that are focused on them, their problems, their outcomes, their industry, that creates so much more buy-in.
Excellent. And number two, yeah, absolutely. Number two was expand. So here you talk about being able to expand that deal and perhaps the scope of the deal. A lot of times I think, you know, a customer has in mind a problem to solve, and you can go in and you could immediately prescribe a solution to that problem. But there's usually a lot more opportunity, and they might even have higher priority issues that they might not have even known about that they should be addressing. Is that what you're meaning by expand? Talk about that one a little bit more.
Oh, that's absolutely it, right? And that's the art of discovery. Right? You start off with questions around your established scope, but along the way, you might learn new challenges, new pain points, adjacent challenges, adjacent pains, right? And, you know, if you listen properly, and if you're paying attention, you know, that can easily translate into additional opportunities, additional solutions that you could appropriately position to the prospect.
Excellent. And number three, expedite. We know sales cycles are elongating. There's more people involved in the deal, gaining consensus. Gosh, I cannot remember this type of delay in sales cycles that we're facing now, even through much tighter and much more uncertain economic times. People are really afraid and not confident in the decisions that they're making. Talk about value and that ability to expedite.
You hit the nail in the head, Tom. I mean, the sales cycles are prolonging, and you've got more and more people coming in that you need to get consensus around before any investment. And so, you know, having a strong value proposition that addresses each persona and that almost has like a universal language across the personas of, you know, these are the solutions that matter for each of you. These are the outcomes or objectives that you can help solve for each of you. You know, creates that, you know, I've heard this term lingua franca, right? It creates that lingua franca. It creates that common understanding across people from business, from IT, from any other functions that might be involved to, you know, get on a common level playing field. And hence, with that common understanding, you just create that much, you know, higher velocity in terms of shortening your sales cycles and getting that buy-in that you want.
Process of establishing buy-in, that creating the business case and developing out that collaborative approach, getting consensus on what the outcomes are and that they can be achieved is oftentimes the biggest hurdle, and it's even more impactful than actually the deliverable. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely agree, April. I mean, it's one thing to create a compelling business case, but that business case or that value proposition needs to be easily consumable, right? Because end of the day, this business case will be socialized internally within the customer, within the prospect. And there are many cases where we as a partner or vendor might not be there, right? And so that story needs to be permeated across the organization, right? And that's what we mean by this buy-in. If people can understand the value proposition, then socializing it internally becomes that much easier.
Completely agree, Sridhar. I think key to what you've outlined here with Elevate has been kind of have a point of view and go out there with a point of view, expand, learn how to do good discovery around the pain points, and don't diagnose too early or solution too early. With Expedite, it's a lot about this storytelling. Talk a little bit about the last E, so Elevate, Expand, Expedite, and now Establish.
Yeah, so that's essentially the whole concept of socializing, right? I mean, we are not going to be there many a time. You know, and a classic example out here is a board presentation, right? You're going to be presenting, you know, most likely a value proposition to your champion mm-hmm. or your decision maker. And they then internally have to present it to their board, right? And so that's what I mean is if that value proposition is clearly understood by them, if that is easily consumable, if they can translate and narrate that same story, that creates that buy-in internally across the prospect's organization. So the third E, which is expedite the sales cycle, was consensus across the decision makers to buy the solution or express an interest in the solution. The fourth E is more internal to the prospect, right? This is buy-in across the prospect stakeholders where we might not be there.
Makes total sense. Yeah, this business case is so critical. And at the same time, we've seen a lot of organizations start the journey of value with developing out a calculator or spreadsheet. They might put it on the website and provide it to the sales team, but you know they'll think that they have a value program at this point. So what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I would not define that as value, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, numbers are an important part of articulating the value proposition, and you've got calculators or spreadsheets or whatever else mechanism you have. But, you know, from my perspective, numbers are only as useful as the context or story or mm-hmm. narrative behind them, right? And so the real art to articulating a compelling business case is through a story that links what are your objectives, to what are your pains, to what are your potential gains, to what are the actions that you're going to take, right? And then again, make it easily consumable so that it can be socialized internally within the customer, right? So yes, numbers are important, but they're just one ingredient to your overall recipe.
Preach, definitely. Your advice is definitely to have a value practice as well. Go beyond kind of the calculator spreadsheet to storytelling, but take that value practice across the enterprise. And I know that's a passion of yours and across the customer lifecycle. What does that mean to you?
Oh, you've got me started on something that's really passionate to me, right? I mean, for me, value is, you know, it's got that unique characteristic of being relevant across the entire go-to-market lifecycle, yes. Right? So value can be leveraged with very high impact to build pipeline, to support deal closure, and to support post-sales and enable a very rich customer experience, right? And so, you know, I'll just throw out some tactics that I've used in the past that are really successful. Let's talk about building pipeline, for example, mm-hmm. right? We've got two core functions out there, marketing, and marketing plays a pivotal role in amplifying value early, right? You got to raise awareness and interest through value. And so you can do things like customer case studies on the website, right? Or you can have account-based marketing programs where you develop provocative industry-based point of views for strategic mm-hmm. accounts. Or you can have ROI calculators in the website that are easy, intuitive, fun, right? So marketing can play a part in value, and so can the other function, which is inside sales, right? They can have things like outcome-based scripts, right? Or outreach sequences that are focused on value. Or enable really good, rich first conversations through talking about outcomes, right? So that's everything around pipeline. But then let's take it one step further. Okay, you've progressed to deal closure. Now you've got the value team coming in, right? The value consulting teams coming in. I mean, obviously you've got a traditional model where they collaborate with the prospects and build a compelling business case, but it's not just that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can do so many more things, so many more operating models. You can help with creating board presentations, right? You can do demo to value, which is demonstrate your products and solutions, not just based on features and functions, but tied to outcomes mm-hmm. around revenue, around margins, around costs, around working capital efficiency, customer experience, what have you. Right. And you can have partners speak the same language as well, especially for reseller opportunities where, you know, it would be disastrous if an organization is talking one language for value and the partners are completely off track mm-hmm. talking something else. Right. That's the last thing you want. And then just taking it to the last mile, which is post sales. right? Value plays a very critical role out there as well, right? You got to deploy solutions that are tied to outcomes. You want to have things like workflows to improve efficiencies, or reports and dashboards that give you that insights around effectiveness and ensure fast time to value. You want your customer success teams enabled on value to articulate back to the customer what value they're realizing. And then the holy grail is being able to influence your product roadmap so that the product can incorporate metrics that matter in terms of helping the customer realize, you know, what value they're achieving, right? So tons of things you can do there across the entire life cycle. And so value is, you know, from my standpoint, definitely is not just the remit of the value team. I mean, the value team has to ensure that value is scaled and it's almost part of the fabric of any organization across the full life cycle.
Yeah, you're right. That is a lot to take on, right? Value across the entire organization, and you can't do it all. So how do you elevate from being a doer to an orchestrator?
Yeah, I think all the things that we just talked about, you know, do that for you. They allow you to orchestrate those go-to-market motions focused on value. But you got to use the right combination of tooling, right? Tooling can play a big part out here. There are lots of fantastic options out there. And I want to give you guys a really big shout out here for, you know, publishing the first guide for value platforms, which is a brilliant read. Right? So tooling plays a massive part in orchestrating value. Mm-hmm. Processes play a massive part. Programs play a massive part. You know, think of enablement programs, think of account-based marketing programs, think of product-led value realization programs. Mm-hmm. And if you apply a combination of these, you know, your value teams, obviously, but also tooling, processes, and programs, and apply them at relevant stages, that's how you elevate from, you know, just doing value to really having value be orchestrated across the entire go-to-market cycle.
Yeah. Sridhar, as you were talking there, it reminded me of another element that we think is important and that a couple of other value leaders have mentioned, two of them. One is having a charter that expands the role beyond business case factory to this kind of orchestration role. And two, the value of executive support and patience as well. Talk about those two elements. Were those elements to the success of the programs that you've put in place?
Oh, absolutely. I think the charter is extremely important. In fact, that should be the number one agenda for any new value leader coming into an organization is think big, think strategic, right? Don't just think about value from a functional standpoint. Think about value for the entire organization, right? And so if you've got to have big, hairy, audacious goals, right? And it's no different out here for value. Your charter needs to be big, right? And then, you know, if you have that right charter, and if you are addressing for the execs, the what's in it for me, execs, you know, think of execs as a normal, common stakeholder that you would find in any of your prospect personas, right? Mm-hmm. And so for the execs, outcomes matter, objectives matter, goals matter, targets matter, right? And so if you have the right charter and you articulate to them what you're doing from a value standpoint to address the needs of their peers within our prospect organizations, you got the buy-in from the execs. Hopefully that addresses your question, Tom.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is a really good place to kind of come back to, which is where do you begin, right? And that charter is a core place to start. What is one piece of advice you'd like to leave the Enterprise Value Collective with today?
Ooh, again, I'll come back to the same topic which you have been talking, which I'm passionate about, is introduce the notion of value across the entire lifecycle, right? Use value to build pipe, use value to support deal closure, use value for your post-sales and customer experience. And the effect can be truly manifold and amplified. And let's go back to the 4E effect, right? That everyone should take away, right? Elevate the conversations, expand the deal size, expedite the sales cycle, and establish that buy-in within the prospect audience.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Awesome. If you haven't done so yet, sign up. The Enterprise Value Collective on LinkedIn, geniusdrive.com website. You can stay in touch with us on the latest events, tools like the buyer's guide for value automation, things like that. We've got a lot more of those coming this year, and insights and research, which we're also in the works on. If you liked this episode, hit the like button. Helps us with the rankings. Sign up so you can stay in touch and know when episodes get posted. So follow us there. And until next time, our Enterprise Value Collective, keep sharing and growing together.